Al-Maghrib Institute presents an Ilm Fest lecture entitled Prophecies of Muhammad by Sheikh Yasser Brajaz.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. In the book of Sirah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back from the magnificent night journey al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he came back salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi after he had gone through so much the days and the weeks and the years before, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he needed that break. He needed that confirmation. That was around almost 10 years from the beginning of the first revelation, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in his house alone after he went to At-Ta'if and they rejected him. He felt the pain in his heart, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, coming back to his own hometown, Mecca, knowing that no one is there to support him against the tyrants of Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said he was even afraid to come in, that he had to wait for 3 days before he found someone, Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, to give him a jawar to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came in under the protection of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Rasulullah sallallahu wa sallam alayhi was in his house alone, kind of feeling tired. Then one night, Jibreel comes to him. He says, come with me. He says, where? Come with me. And he was taken to a magnificent journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca all the way to Jerusalem. A geographical distance that beyond the expectation of any human being of that time to travel at such a high speed. But it has a vision. It had a huge vision, very far vision to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Muslim ummah. It wasn't just about physical or geographical, from moving him from one geographical location to another. It was about moving him from one stage in his life, in his commission as a Rasul salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi, to another stage. It's about taking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah from one stage to the other. It was basically the beginning of a long-term vision. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went up to the seventh heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually, you think that was magnificent? Jibreel is telling, wait until you see what's in heavens. And he was taken from the earth all the way up to the seventh heaven to meet with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took the obligation of the 5 daily prayers, and then he came down again into Mecca. All of that was in one single night. Who can believe this? Who would even believe in anything like that? I'm talking about the standard of 1400 years ago. People didn't even know anything of what we know today. Perhaps in our time people say, oh, that's easy. Even people, they say, you know, we could even do that through, if they have teleporting technique that is still hidden, it could happen one day. But this was beyond that. When Rasulullah came down, and here is the point, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Mecca, he came out so enthusiastic. He was so happy, so excited, that even Abu Jahl, his arch enemy, was kind of surprised. This is not the same Muhammad we had last night. Yesterday he was kind of depressed, he's tired, he's exhausted, and now he's so happy, so excited. What's wrong with him? Did he see anything? Is there anything new coming to him? So when Abu Jahl asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this happiness is all about? The Prophet ﷺ told him, last night I went to Jerusalem and then I came back. Now I want you to be in the position of a man like Abu Jahl there when you hear the news from Muhammad ﷺ. You're in Mecca and then just in one night you're telling me that you went to Jerusalem, you come back again. Who would even believe in that? So Abu Jahl says, are you willing to say that to the people of Mecca? Are you serious? Means, are you willing to go and profess that to everybody? Of course. And they start talking about it. It brought a huge controversy. Huge controversy to the people. That how could, you know what? We accepted that you see things. We accepted you receive something from someone you call an angel. But you're telling me you moved to Jerusalem and came back again at the same night? That's impossible. Then, some people, they went straight to whom? His friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, for 10 years he was supporting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way. He supported him everything in his wealth and his money, his family, his emotional, social, cultural, tribal support, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu warda, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people, they had some dispute, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in Medina, he said, don't you ever, leave me my friend to me, leave Abu Bakr as-Siddiq for me. He was the one who supported me, helped me. He was when everybody else left me alone. He believed me when everybody else, they rejected me. He supported me with his wealth when everybody else deprived me of their wealth. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when he was told, did you hear what your friend is saying? He was told, do you know what your friend is saying right now? And he just asked, what is he saying? They said, he's saying that he went to Jerusalem and to the seventh heaven, came back again. All of this happened in one night. Do you guys know what was the response of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? An amazing response, the response of a believer. He didn't say, no, you're lying. He didn't say, oh, come on. He didn't say, wait until I want to hear it from him. Where is he? Let me go and check with him. He didn't say that, radiallahu anhu. He said a word that shows how much faith and belief he had in his friend and his messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. قَالَ إِنْ كَانَ قَالَهَا فَإِنْ صَدَقْ لَإِنْ كَانَ قَالَهَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. Says, if it's true, that's what he said, then I believe it. He said, if what you're telling me, it's true about him, that he said that, I believe it. Meaning, I don't have to confirm that with him. But if you're telling me the truth that he said that, then I do believe it. Then he said, I believe in him, fi khabar as-sama. I believe in him, fi khabar as-sama. He brings me the news from the seventh heaven, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want me to believe in his journey from Mecca to Jerusalem? So that was much easier for him, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu warda. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. For this reason, he was called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the man who believes in the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us living in the 21st century right now, he is considered a ghaib for us. He's like a ghaib. He's part of the unseen world for us. Yes, we have all the traces and the legacy that he left behind, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. But we believed in him because we received the revelation that he received himself, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lives his life, he delivered the message, and then towards the end, he gave the sahaba and the ummah so much of the future, news about the future. He was telling them, listen, in the future, this is what you're going to see. Things going to happen. Things are going to change. So that even his news, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, extended the time of his companions, radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum, to our time. Things that we are seeing today to confirm the truthfulness of the message of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important to begin, before I start speaking about some of these prophecies. Some of the prophecies that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shared with the ummah. I would like here to mention two things. Number one, when it comes to believing these prophecies, these nubu'at and irhasat, we need to understand that they are all based on al-ghayb. These are from the unseen. This is for us, basically, is ghayb. We have to believe based on the evidences in the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And believing in al-ghayb, believing in the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered this one of the greatest characteristics of al-muttaqeen, the most righteous. As a matter of fact, it was counted even to be the first characteristic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Thalika Al-Kitab, La Rayba Fih, Hudan Lil-Muttaqeen. This is the book. La Rayba Fih, there is no doubt in this book. Hudan Lil-Muttaqeen, guidance to the righteous. This book has guidance for the righteous. What are their characteristics? The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, Alladhina yu'minuna. Do you guys know the ayah? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. What comes next? Wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. See, there are three things right now. Alladhina yu'minu bil ghayb. Those who believe in al ghayb, that unseen. Then they perform their salah and they give zakah. So the first quality was their strong belief and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. So these issues of the prophecies, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned to us about the future, is part of al-ghayb that we are obligated to believe, and it's a sign of righteousness. It is a sign of righteousness to believe in that. Number two, When it comes to belief, that was the quality of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ardahum, for which they earned what they earned from Allah Azza wa Jal, their status and their mention in the Quran. You know, one of the most beautiful stories, sometimes I really reflect on that story, even though it's usually mentioned in books of seerah, you know, so quickly, there is so much attention, there is not so much attention was you know, brought to it. But wallahi, that shows you the kind of unique qualities the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum they had. You know, when Rasulullah, after that incident, Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was harassed greatly. The following year, Allah Azza wa Jal sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 6 people coming from Yathrib looking for some solution. They met with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, and then they kind of believed, and they went back to Yathrib. The following year, they were 12. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent his first messenger, his first ambassador, Mus'ab ibn Umayr. They went to Medina. He went to Medina with them. And he worked so hard. He worked so hard on the people of Yathrib, inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is so amazing about it is that the following year, they had almost 22 people coming for Hajj to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as representatives of the hundreds who believed were staying in Yathrib, even though they haven't seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yet. They haven't seen him. They just heard about him. They only heard about him. They heard about him from Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. They saw the byproduct of his message through this man, Mus'ab ibn Umayr. They said, a man producing people like Mus'ab, he must be telling the truth. They followed Mus'ab because of his action, his akhlaq, and it was all based on faith. They also believed in him based on what other people told them, their own leaders. Said, we met this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believed. So when they believed, they came, 82 people came with Rasulullah and 2 ladies. They came and they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an area close to Mina known as Al-Aqaba, just like the ridge. And it's called Bay'atul Aqabatul Kubra. This is now the major bay'ah, the major incident or event, the night of the pledge, when they gave the pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to defend him, to protect him, and to spread Islam as well. Now here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing about these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I want from you that you support this deen. Yeah, you defend me until I deliver the message of Allah azza wa jal to the people. I want you to support my followers, the people of Mecca and everybody else who believes for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, I want from you, just like when you defend yourself, you defend my people like defending yourself. He mentioned all of that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what was there in return? What were they getting? What were they getting? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَاذَا لَنَا. What do we get out of this? What did he say to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, Al-Jannah. I'm giving you Al-Jannah. He means, from me, you're getting nothing because I have nothing to offer you. But I'm giving you Al-Jannah, عرضها السماوات والأرض. I'm giving you opportunity to get into Al-Jannah. Believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and He's the one who rewards you. And they did believe. And we testify and we bear witness that these companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they delivered the message until this day. One other unique thing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how the Sahaba, they believed in that. Even though they haven't seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and shows the akhlaq of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his companion radiallahu an, al-Hijra. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived into Medina, he was with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the people of Medina who believed in Muhammad, they're already Muslims, they gave their shahada, but they have never seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yet. So as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Rasulullah were riding into the city, people were looking and they were wondering, who is he? Which one of them? Who was Muhammad, our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They still believed, even though they haven't seen him yet. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he was very clever. When he noticed that the people are looking into the faces and trying to recognize, who is he? Who is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Shows you how humble Rasulullah was, that even he couldn't be recognized among the crowd, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took his outer garment, his cloak, and he shaded the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the sun. And when he did that, the people, they realized, so that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they based that on faith and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. We do believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the message. And part of the message that he delivered, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us about some of the prophecies, some of the events. Things happen during his time, things happen after his time, and things will happen in the future, perhaps already happening in our time. I would like to share with you some of these events, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Knowing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a messenger of Allah, that is the reason why he had access to this knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He is the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the owner of this ghaib. He is the one, the owner of this ghaib. He knows all the ghaib, the unseen. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. Allah doesn't give access to this ghaib to anybody. إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولِ. Except from he is he's pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the messengers. So that's when he gives them the access to this ghaib. And Rasulullah, he told us these stories and these prophecies because he's been given that access from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? These are now signs of his prophethood to confirm his message, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, to his people during his time and to us living in this time. I'll share with you some of these prophecies, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, in Mecca, when it comes to Mecca, when he was in Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa he told people some events will happen in the future during their time. One of these very famous stories, the battles between the Persians and the Romans. The Persians and the Romans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Persians and the Romans were fighting, the Persians who were pagans, they won against the Romans who were from the people of the scripture, people of the book. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bakr al-Siddiq, they were kind of saddened by that. And the mushrikeen of Quraysh, they were happy, excited about the Persians winning against the Romans, who were Christians. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received a revelation from Allah azza wa jal. Alif lam mim, ghulibatul Rum. The Romans were defeated, fi adna al-ard, in that not spot in the earth, which is the lowest part of the earth. Wa min ba'di ghalabihim sayaglibuna fi bid'u sinin, and they shall win in few years. And that indeed what happened, after a few years, the Romans, they had another battle against the Persians, and they won. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, when the ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, to show you how much he believed, he immediately would believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the ayah was revealed, he made a bet. He was betting with some of the people of Mecca. That's before the prohibition of that, of course. He was betting with some of the people of Mecca, telling them and saying that, you know, that they will win in bid'u sinin, which means from 3 to 9 years. And he bet some camels and some sheep and so on because he knew that they will win. Why? He had the strong belief and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, in a few years later, the Romans, they won another battle against the Persians. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time, he was faced by Ubay ibn Khalaf. He came to him, he was one of the tyrants of Quraysh, and he had in his hand some crumbs of bones. And he crushed them in his hand, made them dust, then he blew it into the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, Ya Muhammad, do you really claim this? Do you believe that this is gonna come back again into bone and become a human being and alive and be brought back again to life? He says, absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you back together and he will resurrect you and he will admit you to Jahannam. You will be sent to fire, to the fire of hell. The Khan offended the man. So he said, you know what, Ya Muhammad, one day I shall kill you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him and he said, no, it is me who will kill you. Now when the Prophet said that, Ubay ibn Khalaf, he starts shivering, knowing that indeed, when Muhammad says something, he does it. Even when he spoke to his wife, she told him, how could you even be so scared of him? Look at you, you're among your people in Mecca and so on. He's just in a weak position. He said, this is Muhammad. If he says something, he does it. And subhanAllah, many years later, indeed it happened. Do you know in which battle Jama'ah happened? Which battle was that when the Prophet killed this man? It was Uhud. And he was the only man that we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he threw with a spear that he hit him, salawatullah wa salam alayhi. The injury was not fatal injury, according to the reports of the seerah. They were not fatal injuries, but the man, he survived a few days. On the way back to Mecca, he died. It seemed that he died out of fear. Basically, he had a stroke eventually. He was so scared, so panicked, that he died on the way to Mecca. And the Prophet, he told him, one day, it was me who will be killing you. That's the only man, subhanAllah, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, killed with his own hand, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. There are so many other prophecies the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned for the people in Mecca that they will see in the future, and for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the most important part of all these prophecies is the thing that will happen for them in their time and after their time. Why do we need to know the future? You guys know that. There are so many people want to know the future. Why is that? How many people keep asking about the Day of Judgment? One of the most favorite topics people they love to talk about, one of the best topics people they like to talk about is the after death. What happens after death? What happens in the grave? Where did the soul go? What happened to us? Is it going to be Jannah, Jahannam? How does it look like? All these stories and all these questions, why do people like to ask these questions? Because they want to be certain and sure. They want to have certainty of the future. Because when you don't have certainty, you base everything on expectation. Expectations are so high, and you are at certain level, it creates a gap. That gap, if it wasn't filled with any certainty, becomes a source of an anxiety. People, they panic, they start getting scared. And by the way, just, you know, a tangent, that's exactly what happens in marriage too as well. Because people, when they get married, they set their expectations so high, but they are at that level. And that is all a huge gap between where they are, where the expectations they had before marriage, because it's empty, it becomes so scary for them. And that's why we always want to know the future. We would love to fill all this certainty, uncertainty with actually with something. And the best way is to have the knowledge for that. And the best knowledge that we have is coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why, subhanAllah, for Muslims, when you read the stories about the hereafter and the after death, they have the most vivid story and the most vivid picture of the afterlife. From the moment the soul departs until people, they go into Al-Jannah, or people, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam, they go into Jahannam. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to prepare them. Now, I wish that I can tell you that all the stories the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared with us were positive, but no. He shared with us some news that were like challenges the Ummah is going to have to face. Some challenges that the Ummah had to face. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared with us some of the good news that the Ummah will have, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Begin with one of these stories. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was lying down in the shades of Al-Kaaba. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, Suhayb al-Rumi, Bilal ibn Rabah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum jami'an. They came, and they were from the poor people, the persecuted people of Mecca. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they saw him when they were tortured. And they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sleeping in the shade of Al-Kaaba. They kind of got frustrated a little bit. So then they said, Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana? Allah tastansir lana, O Messenger of Allah, aren't you make dua for us? Why don't you make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us from this situation? Allah tad'u lana, Allah tastansir lana, bring us victory from Allah Azza wa Jal. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could do that. He could have done that. He could just raise his hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory and protection. However, he sat down and then he told them, radiallahu anhu, faqa'ada sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muhmarun wajhu. He sat down and his face was turning red, which means he was very upset how hasty they were. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to them, Ala inna man kana qablakum, those who were before you, they were punished in severe ways. And he mentioned two kinds of punishments. They used to dig holes for them and they placed them to their waist and then they split them with saws. So they would cut them to basically to halves. Other people, they will just rip the skin off, or the flesh off their bones. لا يرده ذلك عن ديني شيء, and they would never renounce their faith and they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them, as if he's saying, you guys have seen nothing yet. You have seen nothing of the challenge. That's what's telling the ummah, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. But he gave them his word and he gave them the promise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال والله لا يتمن الله هذا الدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to perfect and complete this deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect this deen that will be confirmed on the land and on earth in Arabian Peninsula and on this earth. Hatta yasir al-raqib, until you find the people, the shepherds, the people ride on their camels, their horses, traveling from one place to the other. He mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min san'a ila hadramaut al-Yaman. That's the southern belt of the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen, Oman today. And some people, they wonder, why did the Prophet ﷺ mention Sana'a and Hadramaut in particular? If you know the history of the region, and even the contemporary time of that region, you would realize that this is perhaps is one of the most difficult and even dangerous terrains in that area. Even today, every now and then you hear some tribes, they kidnap even foreigners because they just work for another tribe. And they want to take ransom from them to exchange for some things and so on. It was very, very dangerous, actually, territory. He said, they will travel. لا يخاف إلا الله والذئب على غنمه. They fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just the wolf that they would prey their sheep. So the Prophet then told them, which is the statement, that message for us, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you are hasty people. You are hasty people. You always look for quick fixes and you always look for quick solutions. And the Prophet is telling them, I don't have that quick solution for you. You're going to have to go through the challenge. You're going to have to face it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that. And one of the Sahaba, who actually he witnessed this hadith as well later on, or he heard the hadith afterwards, one of those, Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu ta'ala, he said, and I have seen it. He said, I swear I have seen it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them prophecies that the ummah will be so rich that the gold, the people will get gold, filling their hands with gold and silver. They're going out looking for someone to accept that as a charity, and they won't find anybody. And that happened particularly at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wardah. The people were so content, and they had so much wealth afterwards, that they could not find poor people to receive their, at least in their areas. They couldn't find the poor people to receive the zakah from them. Meaning people, well, alhamdulillah, were very well actually satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he even predicted for the ummah that one day you will march everywhere on the land. You will even ride the sea. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they were not expert in that. They didn't have actually any navy back then. They barely traveled from Yemen to Abyssinia, to Africa. That would be it. They never actually had the opportunity to travel farther. Or if they had, it wouldn't be actually very common to them. And here's Rasulullah, he said that the day will come when a group from my followers, said from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, from the ummah, that will be traveling, going to the Romans, basically to Europe. And they will be like asirra, al-muluk al-asirra. They were just like traveling on beds. And he means by that ships, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And it was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardah, and a group of the Sahaba, they went to the conquest of Cyprus, the same actually island that we have in the Mediterranean today. So the Rasulullah predicted that for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also gave them the news that Persia, Asham, Egypt, Yemen will be conquered. One day will become a Muslim land, that all of its treasures will come to it. It will come to you. One day this will happen. Which brings us to the story of the Hijrah again. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was traveling from Mecca to Medina, escaping from the people of Mecca, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, he was trying his you know, as much as possible to avoid being caught in the middle. And at some point in that journey, they discovered someone who was riding behind them, riding a horse and running, trying to catch up with them. Usbir, wait. Eventually the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, was much more concerned than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ya Rasulullah, he's catching up. He's catching up. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, don't worry about it. Then as Suraq ibn Malik ibn Ju'shum, Suraq ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, as he was trying to reach, his horse couldn't move into the desert. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softened the sand underneath. It's hoofed and then starts sinking into the sand. He stopped. Few times he tried, and every time he tries to go after Rasulullah, he wouldn't be able to do it. Then finally, he asked Rasulullah, give me security. I'll give you security. It means I'm not going to do anything. I'll give you my word for it. Just stop. I want to talk to you. Then Rasulullah stopped for him. He arrived, and he talked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah invites him to the deen. And the man, he now realized, that's true. This man is protected. Allah is protecting him. And he became a Muslim. He became one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. As a reward, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised him. He said, irja, and I promise you one day, you will carry around your arms siwar Kisra, the bracelets, the golden bracelets of Kisra, the king of the Persians. Of course, at that time, it's a dream. How could this happen? The man is even running away from his own people. He couldn't even save himself. How could he even promise something like this? But a few years later, which was about, I would say, about 15 maybe, or 16, 17 years later, that same man, Suraqah ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Medina, Umar ibn Khattab, the Khalifa of the Muslim Ummah, after the conquest of Persia, they won Al-Qadisiyah, the battle of Al-Qadisiyah, he calls upon Suraqah. Where is Suraqah? When Suraqah came in and he gave it to him, he says, the Prophet ﷺ promised you with this. Put it in your hand. He put it around his arms, in his hands. And he said, I want you to walk around, show the people. And Umar ibn Khattab was saying, as everybody was watching Suraqah, what he was wearing on his hands, he said, Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, indeed, he told the truth. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, before he gave it to Suraqah ibn Malik, when he saw the treasure that came from Persia to Medina, the gold, the silver, the clothes, the food, you cannot even imagine. Even they brought them elephants as part of the war booties to Medina. And Umar ibn Khattab, he didn't know. He says, what is this? Is this even the people of Medina? They say, is that the creation of Allah or is it something else? It's just like dinosaurs for them at that time. Yani. So Umar ibn Khattab, he kept it a little bit in Medina, but he was actually consuming so much food, he said, send it back to Iraq. We don't need it in Medina anymore. So when he saw all this treasure and he looked at the gold and silver, he cried. Umar ibn Khattab, he cried, I want to show you the quality of the people that he was dealing with. He cried and he said, I know what they asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ma yubkik? What makes you cry when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given victory to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, I'm not crying for this. He said, Inna qawman addu hadha la umana. Says the people who delivered this treasure, they must be trustworthy. Those who deliver such treasure without being affected or influenced by it, meaning the shaitan was never able to take their hearts and make them steal or hide it or just run away with it. They delivered everything. He said, Inna qawman addu hadha lu'mana. Wallahi, those who deliver something like this, they must be trustworthy people. That shows you the quality of the people that Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was dealing with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us the news that the ummah after him will be led by a khilafah rashida, which means a guided leadership. And then it will be some sort of a kingdom or monarch system. And then it will be mulkin adud, which means very oppressive. And then after that oppressive system will come back again to khilafat al-rashida. Now our ulama, they say in regard to ahadith al-fitan, these ahadith that speaks about these kind of, you know, a period of the time of the Muslim ummah, they don't like to say it is only applied to a particular period of time. They don't say this happened 10 years ago or it's going to happen 20 years later and so on. They say it could happen in any period of time. So don't say this happens once, it's not going to happen again. No, it's going to keep rotating and going back over and over again. Sometimes you'll have guided leadership and other times, unfortunately, they will go away. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sunnah of the ummah. They will go from being righteous, from being guided to something else, and then finally they will come back again. And it's going to keep going over and over again. Change is happening, as we can see in some of the Muslim and the Arab countries. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the best to this ummah. And bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted to us, ya ikhwa, what we are going through today. Al-ghurba. Al-ghurba. Estrangement of the deen. You know, being a stranger is not that being a stranger in terms of your being alone or no one is around you. It's no, you're living around people of your own kind, your own color, your own perhaps even language, and perhaps even your own deen, but you feel alone because no one really follows what you follow. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ says, Tuba lil ghuraba. Tuba lil ghuraba. And Tuba, whether it's a tree in Al Jannah or it's a valley in Al Jannah, eventually it's a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise in Al Jannah. طوبى للغرباء means this reward is given to those who are strangers, who live strangers. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that those alladhina yuslihuna idha fasada an-nas, those who keep trying, giving the da'wah, means helping, fixing corruption when everybody else is actually making a big mess. Alladhina yuslihuna idha fasada an-nas aw ma afsada an-nas. They keep trying, giving da'wah, fixing, amending what people are missing, what people are corrupting. That means those who are giving da'wah in times, difficult times, even like ours. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى فَطُوبَ الْغُرَبَى. This deen started as a stranger with one man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Few of the Sahaba in Mecca, they had to flee and go to Medina to survive and risk and just spread the deen of Allah azza wa jal. And he said, وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى, and will return back again as a غَرِيب كَمَا بَدَى. And I'm saying this, even in the Muslim ummah, we have that feeling sometimes. You will be perhaps the only person, you're calling people to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and the Messenger, to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you have so many people around you who are just saying that you're just coming, you know, from a, you know, this is too old. This is an old fashion. But here's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that it is actually indeed where the Ummah is going to be rescued, that they keep maintaining the example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I would like to give you finally actually a hadith. One of the predictions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the prophecies of Rasulullah salawatullah wasalamu alayhi. Yeah, and subhanAllah, this hadith, whenever you read it on your own, I want you to reflect on it very, very well. Al-hadith in Sahih Muslim, and has also been mentioned in other books of hadith in different versions, different narrations. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished his hajj, and he came back to Medina, he didn't live long after that. He actually survived close to 4 months, a little bit over 4 months, and then he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At one point, he went to the cemetery, Al-Baqi'. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to visit Al-Baqi'. Again, I want you to remember, he was physically feeling weaker and weaker right now. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were walking with him, they were helping him and supporting him, salawatullah wa sallam, over their shoulders. He went to Al-Baqi' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cemetery of Medina, and he starts saying, قال السلام عليكم دار قوم مؤمنين. Assalamu alaikum, this is the home of believing of the believers. Means this is the graves of the believers. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa inna inshaAllahu bikum lahiqoon. And one day we shall come and join you. We'll come after you. Then, as he was returning back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the Sahaba. And I want you now for a few seconds just to visualize and just try to imagine this sight. He's walking slowly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, back from the cemetery. The Sahaba are surrounding him because they know he was sick. So they were just kind of trying to be around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he turns around them and he goes, قَالَ وَدِدْتُ لَوْ أَنَّنَا رَأَيْنَا إِخْوَانَنَا. I wish I can live to see my brothers. Or he says, I wish we could live to see our brothers. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said, Ya Rasulullah, أَوَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكْ. Don't you consider us brothers? قَالَ أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. You are my companions. Which means you got your status. You got your reward. Means you deserve what you got from me, being my companions. No one can match you with this. No one can compete with this status with you. Then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَلَكِنْ إِخْوَانَنَا. Our brothers, those who will come after me, and they will believe in me, even though they have never seen me. This is the same message, Ya Ikhwa, that I just started my lecture with. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala of Medina, when the Prophet sent them Mus'ab ibn Umair, he told them about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He informed them about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they saw the akhlaq of Mus'ab ibn Umair. They believed, even though they've never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it's our turn. Rasulullah said, they believe in me, even though they have never seen me. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told him, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, how are you going to recognize them on Judgment Day? So he said, don't you know, and this is for me and you, Rasulullah will be able to recognize each and every one of you, ya jama'ah. Each and every one of you. They said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, how will you be able to recognize them when you see them? He said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He said, قَالَ Don't you know that when someone owns horses, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أرأيتم لو أن رجلا, a man who has horses, the horses are basically محجلة, غر محجلة, the manes are different colors and also have different colors on their foreheads. You can tell the difference. You can see, recognize them among all these, you know, plain colors. They said, yes, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He said, on the day of judgment, my followers will come and I will be able to recognize them. غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوءِ, as of the traces of their wudu. That means they make wudu and they make their salah regularly. I mean, why would you need to make wudu unless you want to make it for salah? So you make your wudu and you pray regularly. These are the signs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, these are the signs of my brothers and of course my sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah salawatullahi wasalam alayhi, 1400 years ago, he made this dua that he would wish that he would live salawatullah wasalam alayhi to survive and see us. Even though we did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we believed in him. And that's for me one of the greatest prophecies that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has given 1400 years ago. How many people as imposters came out on that during those days and they claimed to be prophets, but their da'wah died out or became very contained. Look at the ummah, mashallah. In the 21st century, 1400 years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the ummah will be a lot and so much. Yes, may not be in qualities, but he said the ummah will increase so much. And that is one of the greatest prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that al-Islam will never die and will continue bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are a visible and a living sign of his prophecy salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, and we are required to continue that prophecy for the future.
For more videos, audio, and exclusive content, please check out www.sharethekhair.org. Jazakallah khair for listening. Please feel free to share this audio recording with friends and family.